Good evening, depending on where you're at and what time it is when you're listening to this podcast. Today is March 17th, and this marks the Christian holiday, St. Patrick's Day, and this marks his death going back to the 5th century. St. Patrick's Day is kind of known as a couple different things, such as the Feast of St. Patrick, but also, interestingly enough, St. Patrick isn't really his real name. His real name was Maewyn Suckat. And it became known as St. Patrick due to the place of his burial. And it's been observed, this holiday's been observed for the last 1,000 years by Christians. However, today's podcast, okay, so I'll kind of have a little bit of backstory. So, I was really just one of those folks who just wore green, just really just to avoid being pinched, and thought of St. Patrick's Day just celebrating, Irish heritage. I did not realize when I started researching St. Patrick's Day, because I had a feeling that, okay, there's probably some pagan roots to St. Patrick's Day, and well, there are, but it's not good. So today's episode kind of touches on a little bit about religious colonialism, so you kind of know where I'm headed. Now, just to full disclosure, I'm not really anti-Christian or anything like that. I respect everyone else's beliefs, but I am anti-evangelism. I don't think it's anybody's right or anybody's business to try to convert people. Or I'm very critical of missionaries, where people go to other communities or other countries. They bring them charity, which is great, but then they're like, oh, by the way, here's your new religion, or we won't do this unless you start going to church, or whatever it is. And I like to think that in the modern times here, that it's less likely to be an issue. But I know that, to some extent, that still goes on. So, even though St. Patrick's Day has become more of a secular tradition, people just go out and have beer and dress in green and costumes and all that stuff, which is great, and celebrating Irish heritage, which is great, I have to kind of understand that, or realize that a lot of what happened in, thousands of, centuries ago, was really wiping out a lot of, indigenous traditions, beliefs, and in a lot of ways, the culture of early Ireland. So, of course, St. Patrick's Day honors St. Patrick of Ireland. He also was kind of referred to as the patron saint of Ireland. And he was really known to be a major part of the conversion of people in Ireland to Christianity. And you might have heard of the sermon that was so powerful that it drove all the snakes out of Ireland. Of course, the snakes in this case were all the pagans and druidic priests, who were, the snakes in this case. So people who practice a pagan religion or a pagan tradition don't really care for St. Patrick's Day. And a lot of times, a lot of folks protest the holiday. Sometimes people wear a serpent pin or maybe a shirt. And some have been a little more bold, and done something like decorating their front door with a spring snake wreath instead. I'll post a picture of that on the blog. If you go to spiritualgardening.net, you'll see sort of like a blog entry with every episode I post. And sometimes I just make a blog entry, just depending on the day and time and whatnot. So. And we all know, if you've done any research to Christianity and a lot of the religious history, there's a lot of bloodshed, a lot of atrocities that have gone on in the name of some deity or in this case, the Christian God, which I think is awful. So the belief that St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland isn't really true. The conversion of Christianity happened over a long period of time. It wasn't like he did this during his lifetime. And this was like a gradual and a very aggressive campaign that converted the native Irish away from their traditions, their religions, their worship of their indigenous gods through, you know, really aggressive social and psychological pressure. And sometimes people got killed. A lot of times people got killed for what they believed. So the effects that evangelism had over Ireland, also made its mark in Catholicism. You know, a lot of the Irish, the old Irish gods and goddesses are now saints. So that kind of brings me to the subject of religious colonialism. And I'm going to take a point on modern day religious colonialism. And I want to talk about mission trips. So, this one comes from Bethany Global University, and this is clearly a Christian university, because you would think that this article would be more unbiased than they are here. So, they say that mission trips are a great way to experience different cultures, to serve others, and to grow spiritually. But there have been times where mission trips fail to glorify God and spread the gospel and end up harming a community more than they help. Because of this, it is easy to believe that mission trips are inherently bad. Well, and there it is. So the key word here in this paragraph for me is spread the gospel. So what do they mean by that exactly? The real heart behind mission trips, whether short-term or long-term, is to spread the gospel to every tribe, tongue, and nation so they may believe in Jesus, love him, and worship him. When this happens, Jesus tells us that the end will come and we'll be able to worship him all together. So again, the whole point of doing a mission trip isn't to provide humanitarian aid. It is to get people to convert and believe in their Christian God. That's the whole point. In that, I'm against the evangelism. I think it's really good spiritually, to help people, you know, to donate to different, charities that help people who need food, who need clean water. There's a lot of good to be done in the world. However, when it comes with a little clause, some little fine print, and oh, by the way, this is now your new God. I don't like that. And I don't think that's the right way to do things. Another article I came across, which just kind of speaks more to my tone and has a pretty good image caption, which I think I can use. I didn't see a particular source, but anyway, I will post that along with in the blog. Of course, the image is captioned, "Here's your new house and here's your new religion." And, yeah, so picture it. It's the 15th century, and a Spaniard is coming to the New World for the rumored riches to be found in India, which, you know, I have that in quotes, so they're clearly talking about America. However, he instead uses the purpose of spreading his religion as a cover-up for his less than spiritual intentions. Once he arrives, he takes out his iPhone and takes a selfie with an indigenous child, only to post it on his Instagram with the caption, "So humbled," with a little heart emoji. So, yeah, and this is something that's really common. I know of people here locally who have gone on mission trips, and they go on to say that we've seen in third world countries become marked by white people as prime places to go and save, in quotes, or as the author puts it, consider it conquer, and this ego of entitlement is too far gone with our past. It carries on into modern-day missionary work overseas. And he's not trying to dismiss or, you know, diminish the concept of volunteering altogether. There's charities and ethics groups that fight bring positive change across the world, like, you know, food and shelter and clean water. Those are big problems in different places in Africa and other places and around the world. So, and the author he theorizes why people want to do these mission trips on a personal level. What exactly do volunteerists want out of these experiences? Among the most honest of the well-meaning answers, wanting or needing to be humbled would stand out as one of the number one reasons. And this mentality, intentional or not, is selfish. This experience should not be about you in any way, shape, or form. Instead, it should be about the effects on the people you are helping, and the author is correct on this. You're not Anthony Bourdain. You're not going around, trying to experience these cultures. You're there to really help them, and it's not about you. And if people want to volunteer, a real easy way to do it, and the author makes a really good point of this, you can volunteer at a local soup kitchen, homeless shelters, food banks, Meals on Wheels, things like that. So there's other ways to really volunteer and help people, that's much more, I mean, obviously it's a lot easier for me to go right here in a town and volunteer somewhere than to try to go to, over into an African nation like, Nigeria or Congo or South Africa or what have you. And some of these missionaries, I guess they go over, just using this article as an example, here on, this is in the opinion section. So these mission trips, they go over there and they construct like a real nice school, but the community has no teachers or a system of ensuring that the children that, show up to class, it doesn't really guarantee that it's really going to help anyone. So it's kind of out of place. So like the things that, some of these communities need is like a well. They need a well dug. They need clean water. They need, access to, a food source. That's the kind of help they need. Help with shelter, like building homes, things like that. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I think a school is all great and fine, but if they don't have the infrastructure to support that, then, it's just going to be an empty building more than likely. And, people, and clearly, as I stated on the other article on Bethany Global, people on mission trips have the strong motive of evangelize people who, then those people did not ask to be evangelized. They did not ask to be converted to be converted to Christianity. And it is religious colonialism. It is just a different form. It's not quite as, the religious colonialism, say, from ancient Ireland. I don't know if ancient would be appropriate, but 5th century Ireland, where, Maelwyn Sukkot kind of, came over and started spreading Christianity throughout Ireland through, really nasty measures. And, there's a lot of other, atrocities that took place. For instance, the slaughter of Hypatia, who was a pagan philosopher for the, now dwindling Roman Empire. He was killed by a mob of Christians, and this is in the 4th century, or I get my centuries mixed up, so the 5th century. The year 415. I have not looked into these other things, but we know about things like the Inquisition. There was a listing of things like the abortion ships, they say the Great Famine was manufactured, but, I'm not sure which famine they're really speaking of, because the famine that kind of comes to mind is the potato famine, but that was in the, 1800s, and that was due to, some other things. So, kind of going back to St. Patrick's Day, I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating Patrick's Day as it is now, as I think most people have no idea what the history really is. And it is, like I said, it's more secular, than it used to be. Unless you are really religious and a really religious Christian, you will probably hear all about Maelwyn Sukkot and, sort of his legacy. But, of course, I'm not here to like pick on Christians specifically. There's a lot of, other mainstream religions have, had their share of religious colonialism. This is just one of those examples. And it just so happens most of the pagan, mythology, the lore and everything does kind of derive from, Europe. And that is where, the birthplace of Christianity really spread throughout the Middle Ages. So we do hear a lot of the wrongdoings that Christians have done. And I think the history should not be forgotten. I do think that people should be more aware of the good and the bad, to all these different pagan holidays, or Christian holidays, or where their saints are really derived from. At least in terms of history. Of course, you know, there's always two sides to the story. At least, you know, from my understanding would be that the Christians will cite the Bible over what was really recorded history on where those saints really came from. They'll have like I don't want to call it fairy tale, but maybe it's an allegory. Yeah. So, you know, Christians will have like an allegory that kind of go with, the story about the, St. Patrick's, right? They will talk about that sermon that was so powerful, drove the snakes out of Ireland, when we know what they're really talking about is they persecuted all the pagans and indigenous people and their culture and their beliefs and whatnot. They drove that out of the country. So that's kind of where the disconnect is. But tell me your thoughts about evangelism and converting people to doesn't necessarily have to be about, you know, converting people to Christianity or what have you, but just converting people to anything. I don't think it's right. I think it's kind of a bad trait. And, you know, people don't ask to be, you know, given a religion. They don't like it being forced down their throats. And, yeah, and I think I talked about this briefly in my first episode about my one and only experience going to church to a regular Sunday service. And ironically, today is a Sunday when I'm doing this take on this podcast. But, you know, I had done some work for somebody for a while. I would go, so there for a period, you probably wouldn't believe me now, but there for a period, I was kind of athletic. I was starting getting into running 5Ks, and I would occasionally do work, actually timing the events, like a 5K run or a bike race or stuff, different stuff like that. And it paid decent amount of money. Sometimes I would go away for a weekend and make a few hundred bucks. Wasn't swimming in cash, but, you know, I needed the money and it was worth my time. So I would do these events, and sometimes me and this guy, we would travel, in his van to wherever this event was, usually somewhere in the Southeast, like Alabama or down in Georgia or, different places like that. And what would happen? He's a real strong conservative. He was always have these guys on like Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin and Glenn Beck and so forth. And other times he would kind of touch briefly about church and whatnot. And he would invite me. Of course, I would never really take him up on it. And I finally went. I finally showed up. Told him, like, I'll come this Sunday. Because he's been kind of working on me, you know, telling me about, his experience with, how he found his religion, how he kind of came to, I'm not sure which denomination he is, but how he came to Christianity. I forget the exact story he had, but something about like he had like a, some sort of infection that was really bad. And it was, I guess, about to go, gangrenous. He was about to get gangrene. And, he said he prayed to God and in the morning it started getting better. That's sort of the gist. I would have to ask him to get more of those details. And I would love to have somebody, I would love to invite a, you know, it doesn't really matter if you're a pagan or a Christian or whatever. I would love to get somebody, you know, on the podcast to discuss, their perspective on things, on various topics. Of course, I got to be careful. I do want to be respectful. I don't want to be the equivalent of like Rush Limbaugh or Mark Levin and like try and, snipe them, you know, like be like a sniper to get them on the show and work them up and then try to tear them apart on the podcast. I don't think that would be effective at all. I think that would be terrible. The point of my podcast and me doing the website and everything is it's really for everyone. It's for myself. It's for the few who will listen to the podcast and, my goal is to really try and get to the point where I can help people, sort of find in themselves what path they want to take spiritually and maybe other things in life. Sort of share my experiences with things and, whatever wisdom, little bits of wisdom that I've picked up over the years, and share those with other people who may not have that. I think we live in a really special time where, you know, I can get on and make a recording and share that to the world. And, you know, again, I'm far from a professional at this. But I'm getting better. I mean, I got better equipment. The audio quality should be a lot better. And I'm trying to becoming more aware of the things I'm not doing so well. Now, some of those vocal tics that I have they're really hard to, grow out of. That's for sure. I'm finding that to be the truth. So yeah, I don't want to come off as being anti-Christian or anti anything for that matter. At least not when it comes to religion or spirituality, because, at least on the pagan side, a lot has been lost to, lost to history. And, so a lot of it's trying to reconstruct a lot of that. And there's just so much on paganism that I simply don't know. And I just don't have, I don't really have enough time to really dig into a lot of it. And other people have dug into it so deeply. And I don't think I could really do it justice. I really need to find, somebody to explain it to, a dummy like me. And I think it's, you know, running a podcast, could be helpful if I can find guests or people who are willing to come on and have a conversation. I think doing a conversation type interview would be really good. Finding people who are willing to do that is tricky, because it's really easy to kind of come off, I guess, awkward. So, I'm trying to think of what my next move is for that. But for now, I think doing these little short episodes every now and then are good. I will try to work on a new episode here pretty soon. But I've kind of looked back and I've noticed that there's been quite a bit of content that's come out, pretty quickly, which is good. It's good to have the content, but I'd rather focus on good quality content over quantity. So, if you don't see any updates on the website, don't see any new episodes, don't worry, that I'm still with you, and I will be posting more content pretty soon. So I do hope everyone has a good day, and we'll catch you guys soon, and take care, and thanks for listening. And also remember, you can visit our website at www.spiritualgardening.net. You can also go to our Facebook, which is facebook.com/spiritualgardeningpodcast, and also have an Instagram account if you can find us on the username spiritual.gardening. So you can follow us on all those three places, but the website has the most content, and you can feel free to leave comments or anything you like, and you can also contact me at spiritualgardening@fastmail.com if you have any questions or requests or anything you'd like to mention. Just let me know. And Anchor FM does have a spot where you can leave like a voice message or something like that. So if there's something you want to leave a comment about, just you can drop it by there as well. So a lot of different ways to interact with me, and there's a whole bunch of different platforms you can find the podcast on. So if you have a preference on which app you like, if you go to the website and click on where to listen, so if you go to spiritualgardening.net, click on where to listen, you can see a whole list of all the different platforms that you can find our podcast on. But, yeah, hope everyone has a good day, and we'll see you next time.